Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-954. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number 1 to speak. You can contact us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, population control. Has it been decided that the Earth needs to be depopulated? Are blacks first on the target list? Are black people dying more as a result of the depopulation agenda? There are some nasty rumors that some people plan to reduce the Earth's population. Some say by as much as 95%, and blacks are targeted to go first. That would mean blacks are at the top of the list in categories referring to people dying and or preventing births. Are blacks first on the list? I could rationalize why I would start with blacks all over the world if I was trying to depopulate the earth. One, they have one of the richest resources in the world, Africa, and they appear to be a soft target. They are being oppressed all over the world. Their high positions have no power. They are not unified. They are killing each other. Law enforcement kills them, exemption from punishment. Many are preoccupied with assimilating. There is no major powerful black nation, country, or union. And until most recently, they appeared to be preoccupied with the material world and the image of power. But first, why is there a need to depopulate? August Observer, scientists call for gradually reduce population to fight climate change. Key word here, climate change. A letter warning of a climate emergency signed by more than 11,000 scientists calls for a gradual reduction in the world's population. The World Scientists Warning of a Climate Emergency was published in the journal Bioscience and was signed by 11,258 scientists from 153 countries. So a bunch of scientists got together and say, hey, climate change is affecting the world in such a way we need to depopulate the earth. I'm going to go into what effect climate change is having. You guys probably already know that, but I'm going through it anyway. Try to go through it real fast because I don't want to stay on climate change. In the statement, they listed both economic growth and global population increases as amongst the important drivers and increases in CO2 emissions from fossil fuel combustion. That's that car you're driving and a lot of things that we run, we get energy and we create energy from, right? The statement was published after the United States formally declared that it was withdrawing from the Paris Climate Control, that was the conference they had, an international agreement set to go into effect in 2020, under which many UN member countries pledged to reduce their carbon emissions. Now, this whole thing about climate control is old. Right, the global population is increasing by 80 million people per year. That's a lot of folks, I guess. They say the statement claims that is a key driver of climate change. The world population must be stabilized and ideally gradually reduced within a framework that ensures social integrity. The scientist says, I don't know what that means, social integrity. They're talking about reducing the population. While the global population has continued to increase, fertility rates in many Western countries have already declined to replacement low level or below. So some of the developing countries who are the culprits and the major culprits in this thing that we call carbon emissions, right? Their populations they're not replacing it. They're not reproducing at a rate that replaces their population. If you live in the United States, you live in one of those countries. Okay, so according to the U.S. Center for Disease, the CDC, right? They said the birth rate in the United States hit an all-time low in 2018 with the total fertility rate of 1.7, well below the replacement rate of 2.1. That's all together, right? South Korea, 2017, there were 7 births per 1,000 people. Hungary saw its birth rate fall to 1.45 children per woman. According to the demographic prospects in the 2019 version of the world population prospects for the year 2015 to 2020, Western Europe was estimated at 1.68 live births per woman, right? Latin America and the Caribbean just fell under the level of 2.5 live births per woman. African continent, by contrast, has estimated at 4.4 live births per woman. Now, depending on how you're looking at that, that's a threat. If you're talking about the Earth population needs to be depopulated, 4.4, you would be saying, hey, they're taking too many cookies out of the cookie jar. I'm not agreeing with that. I'm just saying, I'm just trying to rationalize as if I'm someone that agrees that we need to depopulate the Earth. So, okay, successful population control policy that we report noted, making family planning services available to all people. I don't know if you guys are aware that they're trying to implement family planning, birth control in Africa and things like that. That's already occurring here in the States. So it's old here, but it's old. It's not that new in Africa either, but, you know, certain people are trying to do that. Okay? They say slow population growth are being ignored as a legitimate solution to climate change. They said, this is John somebody. Anyway, from Science Magazine, said efforts to slow population growth are being ignored as a legitimate solution to climate change. I don't think that's a solution myself either. Climate change is caused by emissions. We need to do something about emissions. But I'm going to go ahead because this is one part of the equation anyway. Let me see. Dr. Catherine Pakalu, professor of social research and economic growth at the Catholic University of America, told CNA in March that having children is a sign of optimism and that climate concerns should take a back seat to other factors. Right? Okay, so anyway, she said that rhetoric about overpopulation should be tempered by experience and that while many believe vital resources are becoming more scarce, the opposite is true. She said, hey, what scares on vital resources? As the world population has grown together with research, industry, and innovation, in fact, most of those scarce resources have actually become less scarce, she said. Anyway, here's something from the Pope Francis in 2015, a letter. He states that despite all calls for population control as a solution to poverty, demographic growth is fully compatible with an integral and shared development. To blame population growth instead on extreme and selective consumerism on the part of some, right? On the part of some consumerism. You got to have money to buy stuff, right? Is one way of refusing to face the issues, right? The letter also states that population growth as a false answer to climate change. Wait, so you blaming it? We got to get rid of some people or stop some people from coming here. And, so he said developed countries may propose population control as a means by which to continue consuming resources at an unsustainable rate, huh? While burdening developing countries, right? Developed countries, U.S., England, right? Russia and stuff like that, while burdening developing countries with abortion, contraception, sterilization, as well as effects of climate change, because they're not the major contributors that's causing this greenhouse effect that's affecting the planet, where it's going to affect the plant growth, right? So he said it's an attempt to legitimize the present model of distribution, right? The haves and the have-nots, right? Where a majority believes that it has the right to consume in a way which can never be universalized. Everybody can't be greedy, right? You got one, you got a piece of chicken. It's two legs, it's two wings, right? There's a brush you can cut it in half. You know, different. You only gonna get so much of that bird, right? So if you got two people out of ten, they got three fourths of that bird, we got a problem, right? So that's what he's saying. So basically, that's greed he's talking about. Since the planet could not even contain the waste products of such consumption, if everybody was doing that, we wouldn't even be able to concern we're not doing the right things with the waste products of the current consumption. But that's another show, though, so I'm not going to stay on that. Well, so anyway, there you have it. 11,000 scientists agree. Some of us have to go, and some of us have to never come show up, right? That sounds like some wealthy folks believing that they have a right to as much of the resources as they can literally stomach. They are privileged, and their life is valued above those who are not wealthy. They are more deserving and therefore have a right to do whatever they accept, do something about these emissions. As far as poor peoples, and there are poor people, more poor people than wealthy, you need to decrease your population because it's too many of y'all eating too much. Besides, you are worthless. What do you do besides multiply? That sounds like motive for who to target and who not to target for depopulation. Be it due to overpopulation or lack of resources, due it to climate issues or both. Africa is, as it was 400 years ago, fragmented into many sovereign nations, not a major military power and a soft target because black people have been disenfranchised all over the planet. No one cares about them enough to protect them. They will need to fight this monster themselves. Okay, so from the global climate change, from the NRDC, the National Resource Defense Council, right? This is some more on climate change. On the term climate refers to the general weather conditions of a place over many years, right? That means Florida, you know, it's usually hot there. In the fall, it's still hot. It may be a little, the temperature may drop to a certain, a certain degree, but it doesn't snow in Florida, right? Climate change is significant variation of average weather conditions. That's like it's snowing in Florida, especially snowing in Florida in June, something like that. Or even in Philadelphia or New York in June. So say conditions become warmer, wetter, or drier or over several decades or more. That's going to have an effect on the terrain, right? Climate change and global warming are often used interchangeably, right? I'm just going to try to run through some of this here. Anthropogenic causes of climate change. Humans, more specifically, the greenhouse gas, right? They call it the GHG emissions we generate, are the leading cause of Earth's rapidly changing climate. Now, that sounds like something we can deal with. That sounds like something that, I guess we can because we don't even control it. But that's something that's doable. They play an important role in keeping the planet warm enough to inhabit. But the amount of these greenhouse gases in our atmosphere has skyrocketed in the recent years, according to the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Concentrations of carbon dioxide, methane, nitrous oxides have increased to levels unprecedented in at least the last 800,000 years. That's interesting. Indeed, the atmospheres of shares of carbon dioxide are the planet's chief climate change contributor, right? Has risen by 40% since pre-industrial time. Now, that's not too long ago. That's way less than 800,000 years ago. All right. The burning of fossil fuels like coal, oil, and gas for electricity, heat, and transportation is the primary source of human-generated emissions. The second major source is deforestation. That's taking a forest, destroying it for the wood, just destroying it because you want to go into the land or build something on it, you know. So the release is sequestered carbon into the air. It's estimated that logging, clear-cutting fires, and other forms of forest degradation contribute up to 20% of global carbon emissions. We need the forest. I mean, we get medicines from the rainforest and things like that. And I saw something, not to get off subject, I saw something where they were even destroying rainforests. So other activities, human activities that generate air pollution include fertilizer use, livestock productions, cattle, buffalo, sheep, and goats are major methane emitters. Activities like agriculture and road construction. These industrial processes release fluorinated gases through our planet's forests and oceans, absorb greenhouse gases from the atmosphere through photosynthesis. We learned that in elementary school and other processes. The natural carbon sinks can't keep up with our rising emissions. So we're throwing too much dirt, you know what I'm saying, to get everything cleaned up enough that it benefit us, right? It's gonna hurt us in the long run. So we're creating too much dirt to keep our house clean. The resulting buildup of greenhouse gases is causing alarmingly fast warming worldwide. So this is a world thing, even though the less developed countries are not major players in the game, right? It's estimated that the Earth's average temperature rose about 1 degree Fahrenheit during the 1 degree Fahrenheit during the 20th century. That doesn't sound like much, but they say, look at this. When the last ice age ended and the northeastern United States was covered by more than 3,000 feet of ice, average temperatures were just 5 to 9 degrees cooler than they are right now. So that's very, very important. You know, the science is important, and that's why I'm reading it, because, you know, climate change is something that can be dealt with. You know, the effects of global climate change from 2016 Global Risk Reports, the climate, they said that according to the World Economic Forum, the failure to mitigate and adapt to climate change will be the most impactful risk facing communities worldwide in the coming decade. Excuse me. Ahead even of weapons of mass destruction and water crisis. Okay, so it said, as climate change transforms global ecosystems, it's the natural system that we live off of, right? We get air, nutrition, water from, and things like that, walk on land and things like that. It's very important to preserve these things, but we live in a anti-life system, which creates a lot of things. But the things that they create are toxic, and they cause toxicity in the earth and in human beings. So, climate change transforms global ecosystems. It affects everything from the places we live, to the water we drink, to the air we breathe. All right. I said, as the Earth's atmosphere heats up, it collects and retains and drops more water, changing weather patterns and making wet areas wetter and dry areas drier. Higher temperatures worsen and increase the frequency of many types of disasters, including storms, floods, heat waves, and drought. Now, we have a president that's not on board with this, right? And I'm trying to figure out why. We got 11,000 scientists. Is he a scientist? Well, anyway, you got 11,000 scientists saying, hey, this thing is real. These events can be devastating and costly consequences, jeopardizing access to clean drinking water, fueling out of control wildfires. I noticed we get all these wildfires out west, right? all damaging property, right? Because people got them nice houses up there in the hills and stuff like that. They, you know, they probably millions of dollars and they burn it up, you know, creating hazardous material spills, right? We had that spill in the Exxon. It had a couple of spills, polluting the air and leading to loss of life, because these things cause toxicity. It's going to affect our immune system, your lungs. You got to increase in more, and the asthma increases in asthma and things like that, and all these things, just from these emissions. And this could be dealt with, because we can use another energy source. You know what I'm saying? We have Pennsylvania has they have two nuclear reactors providing power. Is that right? Correct me if I'm wrong, but anyway. Air pollution, the climate change are linked with exacerbating one another. With the Earth's temperature rising, not only does our air get dirtier with smog and soot levels going up, but there are also more allergenic air pollutants such as circulating mold, thanks to the damp conditions from extreme weather and more floods, and pollen due to longer, stronger pollen season. So that people have allergies, you can thank technology and the people's refusal to change the energy source and get a harness on what they're doing, because cleaner energy sources is what we need. Okay, if it was 10 people on the earth, you should have a clean energy source. That's my take on it personally. I don't care. You shouldn't have a dirty energy source. That don't make any sense. There's one person in the house, so you're going to dirty up your house? Or it doesn't make sense. I don't know. Let me go here. According to the World Health Organization, climate change is expected to cause approximately 250,000 additional deaths per year. Climate change is expected to cause approximately 250,000 additional deaths per year between 2030 and 2050. This is 2030, 2050. We are 2020. So they saying in the next 10 years, if you're still around, you're going to see something. You're going to see things worse than it is now. You know, we had a increase in all these allergies and asthma. People are coming up sick. More, you know, the increase of cases of that illness. Anyway, as global temperatures rise, so do fatalities and illness. The illnesses from heat stress, heat stroke, and cardiovascular and kidney disease. Cardiovascular disease, heart disease, that's one of the major killers in the U.S. Now, you add that with heat, and it's hot now. Air pollution worse, and so does respiratory health. Anybody have any respiratory illnesses, right? Well, we got running around, we got COVID, trying to knock everybody out, right? And we got this air pollution, which is worsening due to these carbon emissions, right? So what we basically got here is the planet of death, right? Particularly for the 300 million people living with asthma worldwide, there's more airborne pollen and mold to torment hay fever and allergy sufferers, as I said, right? So 300 million people living with asthma, right? In 2030, you're going to see 250,000 additional deaths per year between these two. That's a 20-year period between 2030 to 2050. Man, if you could predict that, I guess that means it's nothing going to change and people are going to continue to use this dirty fuel source. And that's a shame, because I heard Elon Musk had a fuel source size of a 16-wheeler that could support an energy source, size of a 16-wheeler that had the capability, it's clean, and had the capability of providing energy for a whole city. Anyway, extreme weather events such as the storms and flooding, right, lead to injury, drinking water contamination, and storm damage. And that may compromise basic infrastructure and lead to community displacement, right? Whole people might be displaced. And you've seen this already happen with the floods and things like that. Indeed, historical models suggest the likelihood of being displaced by disaster is now 60% higher. Okay, so they're saying that they get, you know, through their models and through looking at history, right? Historical model, right? You got a 60% chance of being displaced through disaster than it was 4 decades ago, right? The largest increases in displacement are driven by weather and climate-related events. Why isn't it a rush to do something about our energy sources? Now, I see we got electric cars coming out. My car is part electric and gas, and I see they're coming out with more electric. But come on, this is old. This whole thing about climate change is very old. Anyway, it comes with its own health threats, such as increases in urban crowding, trauma, social unrest, lack of clean water, and transmission of infectious disease. So we're going to get sick. Look at that. That's enough right there to kill off a lot of people. All that in one place, urban crowding, trauma, social unrest, lack of clean water, and transmission of infectious disease. Well, we got running around COVID, right? And that's just one of them, because you still got influenza, right? You still got all these other things. You got AIDS. You still got all these other diseases that we don't talk about since COVID hit. A warmer weather world is also a boon for insect-borne diseases such as Dengue fever, I never heard of that. West Nile virus and Lyme disease. And I just saw a commercial about Lyme disease up on the uptake. Got that a tick bites you and you know, it's not a pleasant thing. Anyway, they said the Arctic is heating twice as fast as any other place on the planet. The Arctic, that's where those big icebergs are. I mean, huge icebergs. You know, they said the ice sheet melts into the seas. Our oceans are on track to rise 1 to 4 feet higher by 21,000. All right, threatening coastal ecosystems. Right, only way water can threaten a coastal ecosystem is for it to be underwater, and low-lying areas, island nations, face particular risks, right? Those little island nations, you're going to be in trouble. I think Jay-Z got an island somewhere. So, they said the Earth's ocean absorbs between 1/4 and 1/3 of our fossil fuel emissions and are now 30% more acidic. Anybody know about acidity? Is that bad for your health? If you have an acidic environment, it breeds bacteria and disease, right? So it says that the fossil fuel emissions are now 30% more acidic in the water, the ocean, right? Most of the earth is water, the ocean, than they were in pre-industrial times. So all this just happened within the last 100 years, I'd say. Definitely the last 150 years or something like that. Particularly creatures of calcified shells. Acidification poses a serious threat to underwater life, which goes without saying. Particularly creatures with calcified shells or skeletons, like that's the hard shell creatures that live in the oceans. I call them sea roaches. That's your lobsters, the skeleton, oysters, clams, and coral. But who else? Shrimp and stuff like that, right? It has a devastating effect on shellfish or shell fisheries, the people in the shellfish business. So that's the economic impact, right? Because if it affects those oysters and clams, that's impacting on economics, right? As well as fish, birds, and mammals that depend on shellfish for sustenance, right? So we have a serious problem here with this emissions thing. You know, these are emissions from our cars and the way that we create energy. Rising ocean temperatures are altering the range and population of underwater species and contributing to coral bleaching events capable of killing entire reefs. ecosystems that support more than 25% of all marine life. So we're about to kill ourselves for what? And I'm not blaming the average Joe for this, because we have no control over that. But we have to seek power in some kind of way and get the way that we create energy. Climate change is increasing pressure on wildlife to adapt to changing habitats, right? All right? Many species are seeking out cooler climates and higher altitudes, altering seasonal behaviors and adjusting traditional migration patterns. Now, that may not mean nothing to you, but I used to watch that. That's how certain species survive. They survive on each other. They're migrating. The certain season, they go here, they go there. They know they're gonna be here. I'm going to eat. I'll be good till the winter. I can go sleep and so forth like that. You know, so these systems can cause fundamentally transform entire ecosystems again, and the intricate webs of life that depend on them. Like I just said, gave you an example. It's not funny, but we depend on them also to be there. As a result, according to the 2014 PPC climate change report, many species now face increased extinction risk due to climate change. We are literally killing not just, you know, animals, us too. If they go, we go. And we'll go before the planet goes. A 2015 study showed that mammals, fish and birds, reptiles, and other vertebrate species are disappearing 114 times faster than they should be. A phenomenon that has been linked to climate change again, population and deforestation, all interconnected threats, right? Because we eat too much of animals. And I know we throw a lot of food away and things like that. But we have to be careful. Only buy what you can eat, y'all. Right? And we need to start recycling everything. Because we don't need to keep... it takes years for a forest to grow. On the flip side, milder winters and longer summers have enabled some species to thrive. Isn't that nice? Look who's thriving. Including the tree-killing insects that are endangering entire forests. That's who's surviving it. They say at least 97% of actively publishing climate scientists endorse the consensus position that humans are the lead drivers of climate change. So we are the culprits. So we have a responsibility to do something about that. And if you listen to this, you think it's not serious, well, just hope you're not around in 2023, as the scientists predict. We can mitigate global climate change and help stem its detrimental impacts. By doing so, will require tackling its root, pollution from burning fossil fuels. We got to deal with that. All right, this is not me on the soapbox. This is what these guys are saying. They scientists, they the professionals. They have boots on the ground. I don't. Let me go on. President Trump, they had this thing, I don't know if they, I think I mentioned the Paris on Climate Change Conference, right? President Trump had threatened to abandon the Paris Climate Agreement and to eliminate harmful, unnecessary policies such as the Climate Action Plan. Don't vote for that guy. All right, so he's pulling out the agreement. I don't know why. I'm not even going to read it because that's people are taking action at home. California, Illinois, Iowa, and other states are championing clean energy industries such as solar and wind. Cities like Philadelphia and New York are taking action to mitigate climate change. I know they have the solar panels that they put on the houses here. November 2016, hundreds of American companies have voiced their support for low emission policies and the Paris Climate Agreement. Hundreds of American companies, and that's who need to be doing that, because they're the major culprits. Picking up the phone to call Congress about environmental policies, the matter matters. Supporting renewable energy projects and prioritizing fuel and energy efficiency will not only curb the individual carbon emissions, but bolster clean alternatives to dirty fossil fuels. We got to do something about this, y'all. Okay, so in that respect, that's impacting on everybody. You know, so it seems like, you know, if you really want to kill, decrease the population, and it looks like nothing's going to change. If nothing changed, then not only the human population is going to be decreased, but the Earth's population, animals, trees, vegetation, everything is going to decrease, going to be depopulated. So, all right, so plans to keep our climate stable over the time by offsetting the temperature and moisture fluctuations through transpiration. Plants also use carbon dioxide during photosynthesis, which slightly offsets the amount of greenhouse gas being released in the atmosphere through the burning of fossil fuels. So far, industry, which is perpetuated by people, appears to be the major culprit. And the question becomes, is there a clean energy source and why haven't we utilized it? Man is the major player in polluting of the Earth's atmosphere, water, and Earth. Why would man prefer dirty energy sources over clean energy sources, over deforestation, over recycling? There is only one answer, greed, blind greed. For example, and this is not an example of, this is just a small example. I use this example of Flint, Michigan. Flint water crisis began, and they say, in April 25th, 2014, when officials from Flint, Michigan switched the city's water supply to the Flint River as a cost-cutting measure, right, for the struggling city. In doing so, they unwittingly introduced lead poisoned water into homes in what will become a massive public health crisis. How can you unwittingly do that, number one? On April 14th, when the city traded a corrosion control water source, the Detroit River, managed by the Detroit Water and Sewage Department, for a non-controlled one, the Flint River. That's very, very important. And it's all about money for a struggling city, right? This is water. City is struggling. We're gonna change your water supply from a corrosion controlled water source to a non-controlled water source. That's very deliberate to me, right? And saying, you know, the story about Flint. They can't drink their water. They provided bottled water for them for a long time, right? So there's this guy named Moses West, sent from God, right? Again, we have a man performing a modern-day feat with water that makes you wonder, what is the problem in Flint? Moses West, a military veteran whose filtration system provided thousands of gallons of free drinking water to Flint, Michigan residents, and his machine was sabotaged. I think this was maybe a year or two ago. They sabotaged this machine. The hooligans didn't merely graffiti the massive big green machine. That's the nickname for it. They destroyed the battery and drained the fuel. Moses West and the Water Rescue Foundation had installed the machine less than a week before. Now, in the spirit of conspiracy thought regarding population control and environmental poisoning, who or what kind of monster destroys a clean water supply that a population is dependent upon? Certainly not someone who is dependent on the clean water supply. Why doesn't the government, city, state, and federal government take a serious look at Moses' water machine? Flint's water was declared safe in 2018. Some people still afraid to drink it. First, when they unwittingly introduced lead in the water supply, sounds suspicious. It is easy to test water for lead and other contaminants, and they should be aware of the conditions that could lead to contaminating the water supply. Was the original water source poisoned or simply not worth saving lives in Flint? Is there another insidious reason the water supply was changed? Second, why did the government take so long to provide a safe water source for the residents of Flint? Could their predominantly poor, 40%, and their predominantly black skin, 57% population, have anything to do with it? Michael Moore thinks so. That's the white dude that makes these documentaries from CNN. Michael Moore said the governor should be arrested for his role in the crisis. A safe plan to save $50 million on Flint water's bills may now cost $1.5 billion to clean up, Moore said in his online petition for help from President Barack Obama. He said, this is a racial killing. Flint, Michigan is 60% black. When you knowingly poison a black city, you're committing a version of genocide. That's what Michael Moore said. So from PBS Oregon, study confirms that how lead got into Flint's water. Flint's pipes were part of a problem in the city's water crisis. Omitting arthrophosphate creates a mineral coating that keeps toxic lead stuck to pipes, which controls metal corrosion, causes lead embedded in the pipes to leach into the water. So they omitted this process, this arthrophosphate, right? And it caused the lead that they soldered the pipes together to leach into the water. Flint's public health emergency could have been prevented if this corrosion control had not been overlooked. Well, apparently they didn't care to use that, right? Lead provided 12.4% of chemical buildup on the pipes. Aluminum and magnesium followed close behind, comprising 9% and 8% of the samples weight on average. Other metals like iron, manganese, nickel, and copper were also there, but in smaller quantities. Now, as I put on my mad scientist conspiracy theory hat again, that would be evil genius to allow the water supply to Flint to be contaminated. And here's why. The CDC says lead can damage a developing baby's nervous system. Even low-level lead exposures in developing babies have been found to affect behavior and intelligence. Lead exposure can cause miscarriage, stillbirths, and infertility in both men and women. Generally, lead affects children more than it does adults. So if I have a goal, and my goal is to depopulate, I can inadvertently, right, allow lead into Flint, Michigan at the expense of the 30% of white folks that live there. That's collateral damage. Anyway, I smell a huge rat. Flint is about 57% black and 30% white and 3% Latino. Something like that. I know that doesn't add up, but anyway. And other ethnic groups. That would make poor white and Latinos collateral damage. Did they put lives at risk to destroy black lives, or are they simply that trifling? The poor are the most vulnerable and less viable people anywhere. That goes back to Africa. Are rich in resources, but poor. Are there really monsters in powerful positions that think about how to exterminate people by causing the death or preventing the birth of as many people deemed necessary by any means possible as a method of population control? Are there really these type of monsters? That is enough. That is not enough to support the claim that black people are first on the list for population armed destruction, right? Control. That's just Flint, Michigan. And you didn't have a whole, you didn't have a massive amount of people dying from Flint. Why would black people be on the list first? I gave my take on it. Seems like there are more potential Flint, Michigans in the United States since the safety standard for lead applies to 68,000 public water systems nationwide. Yet, more than 150,000 public water systems exist in this country. Okay. Seems the problem is people through industries extracting the natural resources from the earth, manufacturing resources, and the use of resources from the earth in a manner that is harmful to the earth and its inhabitants. All right, so where's the problem? If the population continues to grow at the current toxic industry and personal practices continue, soon we will be without resources to live, or at least to eat to live, without safe air to breathe, safe water to drink, safe land for vegetation to grow, and to plant food to support the planet. Obviously, we are already killing the planet, our food sources, and some people with our toxic economic ecosystem. Now the question is, does someone want to kill people as a solution to our murderous, toxic planetary ways? With all this death, somebody still plotting to depopulate. It's almost like we aren't really from this planet, just here to drain the life out of it for profit and gluttony. I've heard that black people are targeted for extermination first. As I previously said, I hear that the most unsafe place for a black person is in the womb. From PolitiFact and the CDC, this guy named Jason Isaac, he made a statement in 2018, said abortion is the leading cause of death for black Americans. Said it's equivalent to 1,000 children, black children, aborted a day. Center for Disease on Control Prevention said heart disease caused the deaths of most U.S. black residents 2015 at 75,249. The year before, according to the CDC figures, they said that from figures from 47 states said over 200,000 black babies were aborted. There were 652,639 legal induced abortions nationally, applied a 35% figure offered by Isaac, and it looks like black women obtained 228,423 abortions for the rate of 626 a day. And this is from PolitiFact. This is like a fact checking mechanism agency. Excuse me. The Gut Matcher Institute, a nonprofit that promotes reproductive health and abortion rights, separately estimated 926,200 U.S. abortions in 2014, which, if you apply Isaac's methodology, signals that black women obtained 324,170 abortions for a rate of 888 a day. Anyway, the PolitiFact found this to be false, but partially true. They said that the Gut Matcher organization said that for abortion in 2004, white patients accounted for 39% of abortion procedures. In 2014, black patients 28%, Hispanic 25%, and patients of other races and ethnicities 9%. Some 75% of abortion patients in 2014 were poor, having an income below the federal poverty level of $15,730 for a family of two in 2014, or low income, having an income of 100 to 99% of the federal poverty level. Again, PolitiFact stated this is mostly false, but contain an element of truth. So I look for another source. PMC, the National Library of Medicine and National Institute of Health, in 2013, disparities in abortion rates. They said that women of lower women of lower socioeconomic status and women of color in the United States have higher rates of abortion than women of higher socioeconomic status. And opponents of abortion of these use these statistics to argue that abortion providers are exploiting women of color and low income social or economic status, and thus regulations are needed to protect the women. This argument ignores the underlying causes of the disparities, as efforts to restrict abortion will have no effect on these underlying factors. Instead, will only result in more women experiencing later abortions or having an unintended childbirth. They are likely to result in worsening health disparities. The abortion rate in the United States is higher than that in most other developing countries, right? They go on to say that there are substantial disparities in abortion rates in the United States, with low-income women and women of color having the highest rates than affluent and white women. In 2008, the abortion rate for non-Hispanic white women was 12 abortions per 1,000 reproductive age women. I think that's, 14 to 44, compared to 29 per 1,000 for and 40 per 1,000 for non-Hispanic black women. So right here you have black women getting a lot of abortion. I see we have a caller. Caller, welcome to Provocative Thought. Hey. How you doing, my brother?
All right, doing good. And it's a sad commentation to hear that leaders in science are being ignored that tell the truth about things that affect us negatively and possibly their solutions, which are based on good science for a better living existence in the current age. And the idea that everything is for money, so you let things go, sounds like a formula for a disaster. I'm not a mathematician, but I guess that's how you get conspiracy. The other thing, the thing about black inequities, systematic.
Right.
COVID is kind of, not COVID, but the recent instances with Floyd and others has brought to light this situation. But it's not just with black males. I think it's with blacks, period. And not only blacks. I think with other people of color, Asians and our Spanish-speaking brother and sisters as well have been, you know, segregated against systematically, whether out and out or kind of like you say, this conspiracy. It's kind of a secret thing between those that do, who are usually right. In a power position. Yeah, that's not good. And I believe what you're saying is true about all these things. All these things are corrupting influences in the lives of all of us throughout the whole world. And I think that's why we need watchmen like yourself to make these things known to the public. Or how else would you know? You'll just go around with your everyday existence not expecting anything negative, all the time being depressed, oppressed, misused, and abused. So we thank
right.
you for that.
Welcome. Thank you.
And just want to encourage you to continue. Because
thank you very much.
We need to be awakened to check things out for ourselves. And by the grace of God, come together for the better, together. And I like that's what's happening with that as a result of that bad thing happening with Brother Floyd. But it's making people come together despite color, despite race. But it's making people come together for things that are good and right. And that's right. And that's good.
Right.
And I think if that continues to happen, we can turn anything around in our world and in the entire world. But again, without folks who are knowledgeable about ill things being done by those who can and have the power and what with all to do them, we're just going to, things are going to continue to slide. But I'm with you. I'm out for a better society, not a corrupt one that's doomed to explode or implode.
Right. It is imploding. It's slowly. That's basically what the scientists are saying. This thing is, I guess, out of 2023, you're going to see the explosion, you know, with all those deaths.
So it says, there's a little scripture that says a wise man sees the danger coming or something, and he conceals himself. He doesn't get into it. He doesn't go into it. You know, eyes wide open but blind. You know, he sees it and he makes a plan not to go with it. And it's more than survival that we're after. And I hear this too when you're speaking. We want more than survival. We want life itself. You know,
right, quality of life.
To the fullest. Quality.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right. We deserve it. Even though some people don't think we do.
Yeah, that's a shame. How one person thinks it's for him, but not for another. That's bad. Bad thinking.
The question tonight is are black people targeted? And is it any evidence that supports that black people might be dying at a rate faster than everybody else, right? And so far, mm-hmm. I've talked about abortions, and I didn't get through this year, but they have information that supports that they're more they're at the top of the list for abortions, black people.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep in mind that we only 13% of this population, but if we include everybody on the planet, I only did that for America. So, you know, they said, let me see, the disparities in abortion. They said, let me get to the black people. They said there are disparities in that incomes are less than 100% of the federal poverty level. So who's poor? You know what I'm saying? Who's below the poverty level? Who do you see? You know what I'm saying? Things like that. You know, that's why I'm mentioning these things. So they said poverty in the U.S., according to the U.S. Census, the highest poverty rate by race, and it's found among Native Americans, right, who are almost extinct, right, at 25.4, right? Who's next? Blacks at 20.8. Who's next? Hispanics at 17.6. Whites had a poverty rate of 10.1, while Asians had a poverty rate of 10.1. So here we go. Blacks not at the top, but they well at the top because they're white behind Native Americans. You know what I'm saying? Right? So blacks have the second highest poverty rate of poverty in the U.S., second only to the Native Americans, who have almost been exterminated. Infant mortality rate. The CDC per 1,000 said black infant mortality rate is 11.4. American Indians or Alaskan Natives, it's 9.4. Native Hawaiian Pacific Islander, 7.4. Hispanic, 5.0. Non-Hispanic white, right? That's white people, 4.9. Mm-hmm. Asian, 3.6. Blacks at the top of the infant mortality rate. right up there with the American Indian, right? 9.4, right? It was second, right?
Yeah.
That high
contraception. That's systematic. It's bad.
Yeah, is it being, right? The question is this a coincidence or is somebody sitting back planning all this? Because it's amazing, because everything I'm going to come up tell you about, we at the head of it. Black folks is the head of dying, and I'm not or contraception or preventing birth. The vast majority of women, 91.2%, use contraceptive method at least at the last sex. All this is a survey, right? It says 93.2% of white women reported use of any method, compared to 84.7% of black and 90.5% of Hispanic women, right, use contraception. From the CDC, said women aged from 15 to 49, right, in 2015 to 2017, the percentage of non-Hispanic women currently using contraception is 67%. It was higher compared with non-Hispanic black women, 59.9%, but not different from the percentage for Hispanic women, which is 64%. So black women use less contraception. It's not considerably less, but it's a little bit less, right? So blacks are third on this list, but there's not much of a gap, not a really big gap, right? Fertility rates, right? They said fertility rates around the world have been decreasing for the last 50 years. So if the fertility rates have been decreasing for the last 50 years, what's up with all this population growth, right? Well, a report from the National Center for Health Statistics in 2017 said among 50 states and the District of Columbia, the total fertility rates range from rates of 2,227 births, 0.5 births per 100 women in South Dakota to 1,421 per 100 women in D.C., a difference of 57%. They said overall fertility rate for the United States in 2017 was 1,765.5 per 1,000 women, which was 16% below what is considered the level needed for a population to replace itself. As I said earlier, the developed countries have this issue, right? 2,100 births per women, according to the report. The report also showed differences in total fertility rates by race among non-Hispanic women. No state had a fertility rate above the replacement level, right? Among non-Hispanic white women, no states had fertility rates above the replacement level. Among non-Hispanic black women, 12 states did. Among Hispanic women, 29 states did, right? So U.S. fertility rates are down. They said for Hispanic white women, the highest fertility rate was in Utah, and the lowest in District of Columbia. Among the black women, the highest fertility rate was in Maine, the lowest was in Wyoming. For Hispanic women, the highest was in Alabama, and the lowest in Vermont. Black women are at the top of the infertility list. Spanish is second, and white women are at the bottom of the fertility list, right? The fertility list.
Okay.
Black women at the top, right? Hispanic second, whites third. So white people not replacing themselves at all, according to this thing, hardly. And we in the United States, we're not doing a good job either. COVID-19, right, from the CDC. And I think by now most of us know about COVID. The systemic health and social inequities have put some members of racial and ethnic minority groups, right, at increased risk of getting COVID-19, right, or experiencing severe illness regardless of age. And I heard somebody just text me today that there's an increase in COVID. And people are, and no matter what age, people any age is getting it now. At age, they ain't no more like we were talking in the beginning, or the younger people don't seem to be catching it. Now the younger people catching it, right?
Right.
It's been an increase, right? They said non-Hispanic black persons Latin Americans and Indians and Alaskan Natives. Evidence points to higher rates of hospitalization or death from COVID-19, right? The highest among non-Hispanic American Indian or Alaskan Native and non-Hispanic Black persons, followed by Hispanic or Latino persons, right? They said the American Indian or Alaskan Native person have a rate approximately five times that of the non-Hispanic white person. The Black person has a rate five times that of the non-Hispanic white person. And Hispanic or Latino person has a rate of approximately four times that of a non-Hispanic white person. That speaks to what you're talking about, that these minorities are being affected by COVID-19, right?
Okay.
More than in this country, more than white people. I don't know. Maybe they're doing the right thing, Caucasians. I don't know. But it's just a hell of a coincidence, I'm saying. And Blacks at the top of the list again, sharing it with the Alaskan American Indian, who's almost been exterminated. That's not a place we want to, and I'm not taking nothing from the American Indian, but we don't want to be on the list for extermination. Poverty in the Washington Post. They said that 2.6 million die a year. Most deaths are from poverty. Most deaths are associated with poverty. In the U.S., 2.6 million die a year. Most deaths are associated with poverty. They said the lowest expectancy and overall and longevity has declined with mortality concentrated amongst the poor. U.S. has the highest infant mortality rate. State of Work in America says among racial and ethnic groups, African Americans had the highest poverty rate, 27.4%. Hispanics, 26.6%. Whites, 9.9%. 45.8% of young Black children under age 6 live in poverty, compared to 14.5% of white children. So poverty caused a lot of the deaths in the United States. Who is it affected most? Right? Blacks and other minorities appear to be in the forefront of the high-risk category. Black people are at the forefront of every category. If it were a race, if it were a death race, Blacks would be victorious. We would win this race, right? Hands down, right? Poverty is the cause of death of many unfortunate people. Poverty is not a coincidence, as we just said. It's not a coincidence you're poor. Pre-existing conditions, poor health, and stress are major contributors to becoming seriously ill with COVID-19. An impoverished community or oppressed ethnic group appears to be a soft target for any diabolical scheme, especially this biological warfare. So, leading cause of death in the U.S., USRA facts, right? Said leading cause of death in USA, heart disease, cancer, COVID-19. Those are the three leading causes of death in United States. COVID-19, Black people at the lead of catching that, right? CDC, leading causes of death of Blacks, heart disease, cancer, and accidents. Well, I'm saying again, that's just crazy. We have to, how come of all races for us to be at the front of, we got to be at the front of the race that kills us, of us dying? How come we at the front of that? Police killing. Now, I don't even have to say this. We all know this shit because we into this right now. And they say, mapping police violence, Black Americans are nearly three times more likely to die from police than white Americans, right? Somebody tried to say that wasn't true. Other statistics show that Black Americans are nearly one and a half times more likely to be unarmed before their death. So gun or no gun, right? One and a half times, most states, police forces kill Black people at a higher rate per capita than white people in most states, right? So that's kind of stuff we're going through. That sounds like that's a hell of a conspiracy to me. I've been thinking about all this conspiracy stuff. I'm saying, like, wow, you mean to tell me somebody don't have nothing else to do but sit down and plot the deaths of people? Is this what's happening? Or is this just a series of things that's happening just because we are oppressed or disenfranchised people, so we're going to get the blunt of everything first? You know what I'm saying? And is that a part of somebody's diabolical scheme? You know, is this somebody just wanting to get rid of black folks because it just looks that way? Because we are winning the race. We are winning the race to death on the planet. Now, to add salt to injury, we got homicide, right? And then there are environmental and social, political, economic factors that contribute to crime and homicide and people's attitude in the hood. But I'm not excusing it with that. I'm not using those things as an excuse. There's no excuse for some of the things that occurred in our community. I think lately I saw a video where a guy walked up to a car, opened a door, shot a pregnant girl in the head, ran away.
Oh, wow.
With his gun. You know, I was like, yo, you've got to be kidding me. She had to die, and her baby, both of them had to die. So, let's say black victims of homicide are most likely to be male, 85% between the ages 17 and 29. 25%, 51%. Homicides against blacks are more likely than those against whites to occur in highly populated areas. We call them cities, including cities and suburbs. About 53% of homicides against blacks in 2005 took place in areas with populations of at least 250,000 people, compared to about 33% of homicides of white victims. Blacks are killed with a firearm about 77% of the homicides against them. So we got to take a hit for that, because that's our contribution to our own demise. And I don't care about the environmental, the political, the racial, the disenfranchisement and all that stuff. That stuff's got to stop. So, it sounds, we're winning that race. And it sounds like at all these intervals that I just mentioned, that black are at the top of it, at the head of most of them, and at the sharing of top spot with a couple of them. And it happened to be the American Indian who was almost exterminated.
And the Alaskan Indian as well.
And the Alaskan. Yeah. And it's like, yo, the dude
who's almost exterminated.
Almost exterminated. Yeah. We sharing a spot with them. You know, and I'm not saying they deserve it either. I'm just saying that that's not a good place to be. That's not a good look. And we're a soft target, I think. And I can see why, I haven't heard anybody say Africa's first, blacks first, but I guess I wouldn't. But I did hear that that's the vibe. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm looking at it like, let me look and see if a lot of black people are dying ahead of other people in what categories they are dying ahead of other people. And it seems like most categories we're dying ahead of a lot of people. So I don't know if that's somebody's diabolical scheme or part of being oppressed, and that's what happens, because you kill all the black people. I think it's 1.3 million in Africa, 1.2 million or something like that. We only 13% over here, but Africa has a lot of people, and they have programs over there, going over there, giving these people birth control, giving them vaccines. That I'm hearing, I'm hearing some bad things about these vaccines and things like that. So, I don't know. We had these the police department, was founded after the Civil War, right, during Reconstruction period. The slave patrols of the place, military-type groups who were empowered to control and deny access to equal rights to free slaves that looked to join the workforce and integrate with society. See? And their work included the enforcement of black codes, strict local and state laws that regulated restricted access to labor, wages, voting rights, general freedoms for formerly enslaved people. Basically, the hell with you. You know what I'm saying? You know. And if you can't get those things that we stopping you from getting, we're gonna put you in jail, force you to be a slave again. That's what happened with that. And basically, you got that happening right now. You guys can't make it. They sell dope. They go to jail. Something for some company that's in there. You understand what I'm saying? It used to be license plates a long time ago. Now I hear that some major companies are in the prisons, and these guys are making some of the stuff we see up on the shelves. So that license plate thing is a thing of the old of the past. So laws look to vanquish all protected rights of African Americans when offending police are not treated equally under the law when violating the rights of African Americans. As a matter of fact, I think they're not treated equally, period. You know, especially when they violate the rights of African Americans.
Racism has not disappeared at all. There have been advancements. And you know what? You know, if a black person knows when he's getting the negative treatment because of his race, I'm sure the person that's giving it knows he's giving it because of his race. And
right.
That's some identifiers. But if you're interested in what you're saying, righteousness, you know, you're going to come out with a different thing. But like again, it's not all. We know that there is not all white people are opposed by decision to black people and black people's well being. But odd as it seems, another person can be like that towards another person. It happens, and that's where the negativity and the destructiveness comes in, called racism. Whether as blacks we're doing it against ourselves, you know, and indicate that was a thing that was taught or initiated through slavery, blacks against black male against black male, black female against black female, black father against son, black son against father, you know. All that stuff was through that institutionalized slavery with the idea of making you less than a human being. Exactly three-fifths of a human being or whatever. So how did that get made into a law?
Easy.
They
made it.
That was crazy. Speaking
of slavery, so when you can't get a job back in the black codes, right? As now, you go to you are guilty of a crime, loitering. Throw you in jail. You worked, right? So now they throw you in jail, right? And now they have.
And
all
they're making
your,
off. They're making money off of you. Correct. Someone's making money off of your disaster. Your poverty. That's right.
Right.
Someone's
making money. That's not right either.
Here's
the thing about jail. There's been a 73% increase in COVID-19 related deaths since May. The five largest known clusters of COVID-19 viruses are inside correctional institutions. Is that bad luck or what? Huh? That's like 50% of jail inmates and 22% of prisoners, compared to 5% of the general population, are reported having tuberculosis, hepatitis B and C, HIV, AIDS, and other STDs. Come off it. Who's in these jails? Who makes up a large population in these jails? A disproportionate amount of inmates are black. For the death penalty, 30% of individuals executed under the death penalty within the last 40 years have been black. 35%. We're winning at the wrong stuff.
We're winning the wrong stuff.
Yeah. We're winning the wrong race. Like, yo, we need to pump our brakes. Everybody to stop. Whoa, wait a minute. We went in all the wrong races. That's exactly what I'm saying. I mean, it's sad. All the wrong races. You know, and it just seems like every turn of life, we got something to kill us. And mostly us. You know what I'm saying? Every turn, we got something that's happening that we're say, oh, is that like, oh, is it death that way? Thank you. That's the way I want to go. Are we doing that, or is somebody saying, which way is we trying to find which way is life, and they saying this way, and it's death. I mean, what is it? We being misled. What is it? Is it both of them? We being misled. We're choosing. We're making poor decisions, bad decisions. What is it that's got us at the head of all of these intervals that I'm talking about? Prison. Now we're susceptible to all these diseases, and you know we are disproportionately targeted by police, which means you're disproportionately targeted in the courts, disproportionately sentenced, disproportionately killed. And why does death follow us everywhere we go? Because that's what I'm finding out. Death is following us everywhere we go. Everywhere. We need to wake up. We need to, throw some water on some people, whatever we need to do. But we seriously need to pump our brakes hard and fast and rethink this whole thing. Black people all over the planet need to reach out to each other across the globe, hold hands, make that circle across the globe with many of them you need to make, because we need each other. And we'll take help from assistance from whoever's willing to assist. But right now, we need to hold each other up. And that's going to end our show for the night. I want to thank you for calling in. It's Chuck.
This is Chuck.
Thanks for calling in, brother. And
had
I want to thank everybody for listening in tonight. You have a good time? Yeah, I'm glad you had a good time. I'm glad you called. And I want to thank the listeners. I want to thank Mr. Kenny Jones. He's the reason why I'm a talk show host. And we talk productions. And, of course, the creator. And I just want to say, you know, each one reach one, each one teach one. Because mainly I want to say tonight, do your own research. You don't believe what I'm saying. And pump your brakes, everybody. Stop and think. Try to make an assessment of what's happening in the world and how that is. Those things that are happening are impacting on you. This was my assessment. Until next week, I want to thank everybody.
All
each
right.
One reach one, each one teach one. Peace, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry Arm, woman liberationist, and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.